The eighth case this morning, United States v. Perkins.
May it please the court, counsel, Dan Hansmeyer again, this time on behalf of King Perkins. Another one-issue sentencing appeal. The issue we presented essentially was whether the district court made sufficient factual findings on a drug quantity determination. That argument is based on a number of cases from this court that hold exactly that, that a district court in a situation like this case involves testimony from a cooperator who is not only a cooperating co-defendant but a drug abuser, and the testimony straddles a drug quantity threshold, that the district court must make explicit factual findings as to why it's doing what it's doing. For some reason, the government responded to a different issue. At least the way I see it, the issue presented in their brief says nothing about factual findings, talks about whether the district court erred in crediting the testimony of the co-conspirator, and that's certainly not an issue we would raise because the testimony was physically possible, so there's certainly no error in crediting it. That's not at all what we're arguing. So the first argument is that the government has simply waived the issue. This court is not in the business of formulating arguments for parties. One option, vacate and remand for resentencing. This court disagrees. The government invokes plain air review. It's entirely without merit. Our issue has to do with a district court's findings. Mr. Perkins objected to the drug quantity determination. A further responsibility to object after the court's findings. That's clear under the plain language of Rule 51A. And a host of cases decided by this court in the sentencing context that we've cited in our reply brief. So the standard of review is not plain error. On to the merits, what happened below is that consistently prior to the testimony, the change of plea colloquy, the government sentencing memorandum, the version of the offense attached to the PSR, Mr. Williams' own plea agreement, his testimony initially at the sentencing hearing confirming his plea agreement is that he was fronting Mr. Perkins 100 to 200 grams of heroin each week. That changed for some reason at the sentencing hearing, and it goes from essentially 100 to 400 grams each week. And the dates changed as well. The district court's resolution of this was not to resolve it. The credibility determination was made, then in 34 words, the district court decided on a 3.2 kilogram quantity finding. Never mentioned why. Mentioned that the testimony was credible with respect to transactions. Nothing about the quantity itself. The cases are legion that this is clear error. We've cited them. I went into more detail in the reply brief because the government really didn't respond to any of the cases. This is a direct quote from Duarte: when the court clearly relies upon one of two contradictory statements offered by a single witness, it should directly address the contradiction and explain why it credits one statement rather than the other. And if that's good law, what the district court did here is simply insufficient.
I thought the judge gave your client the benefit of the doubt on the discrepancy. Used a shorter time period and a lower drug quantity.
That's not true. He did use the April to August, so that is a benefit. But the drug quantity, by choosing 200 grams, that is not a conservative estimate.
Well, the discrepancy in the testimony was 100 to 200 or 100 to 400, right?
Correct.
And he used 200.
Correct. But he doesn't say why he used 200. I mean, if he uses 100, then the drug quantity threshold has not been met. So I think it's clear when that is the issue. I mean, this court's precedent is crystal clear on that. When you have when you have testimony that straddles a drug quantity threshold, there needs to be an explicit finding as to why you're choosing a less than conservative estimate.
Well, he picked a midpoint that was on the conservative end of the testimony or the evidence that would support it. Your proposition is that, or your suggestion is that, the cases can be read for the proposition that he has to, the judge, definitively exclude the lowest end?
Absolutely not. He has to tell us what he's doing. I'll give you an example. Henderson is the case where the district court says, you know what, I'm going to give you a break. I'm only going to credit 10% of this testimony. 10%, that's nothing. This court still vacated and remanded because it had no idea why it chose 10%.
Can't we infer from this record that he's picking a midpoint?
But that's not enough. Picking a midpoint, I mean, the cases are clear. I mean, if picking a midpoint were enough, this court wouldn't have remanded in Duarte. It wouldn't have remanded in Clemens. It wouldn't have remanded in Hernandez. It wouldn't have remanded in any of those cases. I mean, if you look at the facts of, say, Duarte, where you have the drug quantity based on an amount, that range is, the threshold is 5 kilograms. The range is under 4, under 5, and over 5. The court goes with one over 5. That means it's no dispute. But this court wants to know why. Why did you do that?
So here you think it should have been 100 grams?
Well, that would be his argument. Mr. Perkins would make that argument, and because that's a conservative estimate. Now, I'm not saying the district court has to do that. I'm just saying it has to say, under this court's precedent, the district court has to tell us why it's picking 200 grams each week.
What would satisfy you?
In this case?
Yes.
Well, I think under this court's precedent, under Beeler, Duarte, what he needs to do is address the inconsistency. I mean, that's clear. And it's especially clear in light of Beeler because this is, by his own admissions, Mr. Williams, the cooperator. He's getting a one-third off break. He admitted that he used ecstasy every single day during this conspiracy, as well as marijuana almost every day. When you add that together with the threshold quantity being close to the cutoff, in fact, above and below, then he just has to tell us why up to page 17 of the sentencing transcript does Mr. Williams get to say one thing and thereafter say something else, and the district court choose an amount that puts him at a higher threshold without any justification. I mean, that's the problem. The problem is that there's inconsistencies that straddle the threshold, and there's no explanation as to why he went with a number that's, I mean, and the number 3.2, that's 201 kilograms we're talking about. Based on his own testimony, that's essentially, you know, one transaction. So I think the cases are clear that the 34-word determination is simply insufficient, and we would ask that this court vacate and remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Romero.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Jessica Romero, and I represent the appellee, the United States. The district court made sufficient factual findings at the sentencing hearing in attributing 3.2 kilograms of heroin to the defendant. The sentencing hearing consisted of testimony by a cooperator who testified that during a period of 6 months, the term of the conspiracy, he distributed to the defendant 1 to 200 grams of heroin twice a week.
So why don't we deal with the specific argument that counsel makes that the court didn't articulate why he chose the 200 when it's the threshold amount?
Because defense counsel conceded at the sentencing hearing that it was 200 grams per week. It was during the extensive cross-examination by defense counsel that the cooperator testified. It was a minimum of 100 grams per transaction and a minimum of 2 transactions per week. Therefore, the issue is not whether the district court picked the midpoint. It picked the absolute lowest point based on the record before it and based on the concessions by defense counsel at sentencing. The district court's record is not ambiguous with respect to that. Beginning on page 119 of the transcript, it asked the government what its position is as to drug quantity. The government articulated two theories. First, assuming the entire six-month conspiracy period was considered by the district court, the quantity would be over 4 kilograms of heroin. The government then conceded the more conservative estimate would be to attribute a four-month period, which consisted of approximately 16 weeks, at 200 grams per week. That leaves only one figure for the district court to conclude, which was 3.2 kilograms of heroin. Therefore, we're not in a situation where there's an ambiguity in terms of a district court picking a midpoint. It picked the absolute lowest point. Distinguishing the cases that defendant cited in his
brief. I'm looking at, this is Williams' testimony, is that it?
Correct.
On page 27, at least in the transcript, I have. It says in 2008, from approximately April to October, how often did you and Mr. Roby supply heroin to Mr. Perkins? Once or twice a week, as was the answer. And approximately how much heroin was on each occasion? From 100 grams to like 200 grams.
That's correct, Your Honor. During cross-examination, defense counsel asked Mr. Williams the same question, but actually conceded it was once to twice a week, and it was at least 100 grams per transaction. So the issue is the cooperator was inconsistent in terms of the frequency of the distribution, not the quantity per distribution. And he was never impeached. Part of the reason would be strategic, and they were prior consistent statements where the cooperator had indicated higher drug quantity amounts in terms of increased volumes per transaction. So we're not disputing that the cooperator at the sentencing hearing provided one instance where he said he thought it was once to twice a week, and then on cross-examination actually clarified, no, it was twice a week. And defense counsel conceded that at argument. They accepted the twice-a-week figure and never objected or impeached the cooperator. Their sole argument before the district court at sentencing was there's not enough corroboration in the form of additional intercepted telephone calls and additional surveillance, even though there were specific instances of both. Nonetheless, the district court gave the defendant the benefit of the doubt, and he articulated that clearly at the time of sentencing when he said, I'll exclude the time period from September through November of 2008 based on the fact that the defendant indicated his relationship with his co-defendants had deteriorated and his frequency or degree of involvement in the conspiracy was not as extensive. Nonetheless, the district court pointed out, and this was based on the government's argument at sentencing, that the intercepted telephone calls were only for the tail end of the conspiracy. Mr. Williams testified unambiguously that by April 2008, he was distributing heroin to the defendant. And according to defense counsel's own admission, it was at 200 grams twice a week.
Yeah, he reaffirmed it on redirect examination as well.
That's correct. If there are no further questions from the court at this time, we ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed for those reasons and the reasons set.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
No idea where this concession comes from. I mean, if Mr. Perkins had conceded 200 grams, why are we here? Why wouldn't the district court just say you conceded it? That's it. I mean, that's absurd. There is no, just because Mr. Williams testified on cross-examination one way doesn't mean Mr. Perkins, now I didn't represent him in the district court. And I'm not saying, I think it's clear if you read what his attorney did in the district court, it's sort of mind-boggling. The whole cross-examination doesn't make much sense. But at the end of the day, the objection to drug quantity was there. And it was there based on a threshold 3-kilogram number. And the testimony at page 17 and apparently 26, too, is that it was 100 to 200 grams each week. That's not only his testimony. It's in his plea agreement. Now, that differs on this later testimony. That's clearly inconsistent statements. So this idea that we've conceded something, I don't get at all. I also don't get, this reliance on the telephone calls meaning anything. Because when you look at the calls, And when you look at his other testimony, it supports our position. I mean, everything goes towards this 100 to 200 grams each week. The testimony, they get $8,500 normally, which is 100 grams according to his testimony. His testimony that I only dealt with, Williams testified, we dealt via phone calls. That was his testimony. So this idea that there was other sort of transactions out there, the district court kind of made that. I mean, that's not supported by the testimony. It's clear that these are inconsistent statements. This idea that we conceded something is absurd. There's a threshold quantity, and that under this court's precedent.
I don't see a concession in this transcript, but what I do see is a different kind of an argument than the one that you're making right now. In other words, your counterpart in the district court did not argue to the judge that he should use the low end, the 100, as opposed to the 200, but he was just attacking the credibility of the argument and the lack of corroboration, that this isn't believable and there's too many contradictions, et cetera. Right. It was a different sort of an argument than the one you're making now.
But at the end of the day, I think that doesn't mean anything as far as what happens on appeal. Because, I mean, I don't think...
Well, you might want to back off of that a little bit, because what happens in the district court does mean something for purposes of appeal.
I mean, I think it's clear, and City of Escondido from the United States Supreme Court says it's clear, that we can make arguments. Once you have a specific objection, you know, the arguments on appeal aren't limited. And so we're here because the record is clear that you have a threshold quantity based on inconsistent statements. And I think if you look at those cases we rely on, I mean, do they really make the same? I mean, I don't know. I think there's probably one of those five cases that is in the same light as ours. So we would ask this court to vacate and remand. Thank you.
Mr. Romero, you mentioned concessions. Do you have a citation to the record where we could get that? Thank you. Sure.
At the bottom of the page, defense counsel says, you know, we make clear our only argument is there wasn't sufficient corroboration. He does not dispute the testimony with respect to drug quantity. And there's also a citation in my brief where defense counsel in his argument to the sentencing court indicates that it was 100 grams. I'm sorry, it was 200 grams a week for the stated period.
And where was that again? This last point. I got the transcript, 114.
Page 114 is where defense counsel indicates his only argument is the lack of cooperation. Page 113. In it, the quote is, defense counsel says, the defendant is meeting him every 2 days and buying 100 to 200 grams or 100 grams at $85 a gram. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement, and we move to the